This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
A gambling destination down on its luck.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM in New York, I'm David Gura, in for David Brancaccio. Another casino closed this weekend in Atlantic City. The Showboat Casino had been around for 27 years. It's not the first or the last. The Revel Casino will go out of business tomorrow. As Marketplace's Sabri Benishour reports, Atlantic City is trying to figure out a way to reinvent itself.
5,000 people lost their jobs this past weekend in Atlantic City.
We're trying to ease the blow.
That's Ben Begleiter with Unite Here's Local 54. His union, which represents casino workers, booked the convention center to get resources to people.
Make sure that people have unemployment benefits, health benefits, and utility and food assistance.
The basic problem is Atlantic City hitched itself to a star, and that star faded. James Hughes is a professor at Rutgers University.
Atlantic City was predicated on being an East Coast monopoly in the casino industry. Now there's no monopolies anyplace.
All the neighboring states have casinos now. Of course, Atlantic City still draws millions of visitors, but
it's going to have a permanently smaller economy.
Gambling revenue is still half what it was in 2006. Oliver Cook teaches at Stockton College.
I think the question is what AC does in the future to kind of rebuild and diversify. There's a whole countless litany of proposals that have been put forward.
Governor Chris Christie is holding a forum to discuss just that next week. I'm Sabri Benishour for Marketplace.
And let's do the numbers. Markets are closed today in the U.S. for the Labor Day holiday. The 100 share index in London is down slightly. The euro up slightly. And in Hong Kong, where there were large protests this weekend, the Hang Seng index is up 0.04%. Because of ongoing turmoil in Ukraine, the Russian ruble hit a record low today against the U.S. dollar. It's September, which means, among other things, the enrollment period to get health insurance under the Affordable Care Act is practically around the corner. Despite provisions under Obamacare designed to guarantee health insurance coverage for everyone, some policies are still designed to keep the sick away. From the Marketplace Health Desk at WHYY, Dan Gorenstein reports.
Under the ACA, the days when insurers denied coverage because of pre-existing conditions are over. Many insurers used to make money by cherry-picking the healthiest people. Even though the law has changed, former State Insurance Commissioner Joel Arrio says some companies haven't.
We have not eliminated discrimination from insured DNA yet. So you are still going to see insurers using strategies that are trying to drive away risk rather than manage risk.
One of those strategies is to make drugs for high-cost conditions like HIV or MS more expensive through upfront deductibles. Another is to limit the network of doctors and hospitals. If you want somebody else, you pay through the nose. University of Pennsylvania's Tom Baker says to thrive today, insurers must accept that sick people are part of the mix.
The health insurance companies that are trying to have fewer of those people just want to have fewer.
Baker says the insurers who find the sweet spot of healthy and less healthy will be the big winners. I'm Dan Gorenstein for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Citrix GoToMeeting, connecting people and businesses in face-to-face online meetings from any device. More at GoToMeeting.com. By Allianz, providing investment, insurance, and retirement solutions through its affiliated companies in the U.S. since 1896. AllianzUSA.com. And by Nuance Power PDF, designed for easy implementation to accurately convert, combine, and collaborate on business documents. Nuance.com/PowerPDF. PDF uncompromised.
Now the global perspective on business and the economy. China censors content on the internet, and that's made it tricky for American social networking sites like LinkedIn. Just months after launching its Chinese site, the company is under fire by some of its members for removing content they posted that was critical of China's government. Our own China bureau chief Rob Schmitz had one of his LinkedIn posts removed too.
Not long after I posted my Marketplace story about the 25th anniversary of the Tiananmen Square protests, LinkedIn sent me an email. Hi, Rob. LinkedIn determined that recent public activity that you posted contained content prohibited in China.
As a result, this content will not be seen by LinkedIn members.
Australian journalist Fergus Ryan received this email, too. His post, a story he did about an artist detained in the run-up to the Tiananmen anniversary, was also removed.
I felt outraged, really, because professionally, as a journalist, I feel that this is why a lot of people would follow me on LinkedIn.
Hani Durzi, director of communications for LinkedIn, says it wasn't an easy decision to censor posts from China.
It is difficult. We are strongly in support of freedom of expression. But it was clear to us that to create value for our members in China and around the world, we would need to implement the Chinese government's restrictions on content.
But LinkedIn's not just blocking this content inside China. It's removing posts from its site worldwide. In LinkedIn's email to me, the company says it does this to, quote, protect the safety of our members that live in China.
Yeah, well, I mean, bullshit.
Chinese social media expert Jeremy Goldcorn calls it like he sees it.
Their Chinese members should be able to choose what they want to post, and they know generally better than a foreign company how to protect themselves from the government.
LinkedIn got help from Sean Ryan, director of China Market Research, to develop its China strategy. Even he's disappointed in the company's censorship policies.
A lot of Western players, they so want to make money that they actually do more to heed what they think the authorities want.
LinkedIn seems to have recognized this. Its communications director, Hani Durzi, says the company will continue to block sensitive content inside of China, but
after talking to a number of people, we recognized that it may be better if we were to change our policy and allow that content and that profile to be viewed outside of China.
Which leaves me wondering what will happen when I post this story to LinkedIn. In Shanghai, I'm Rob Schmitz for Marketplace.
And finally, Hollywood has been hit by a hacking scandal. A hacker claims to have accessed celebrities' iCloud accounts where he downloaded provocative photos of more than 100 actors and models. Now, of course, they're making the rounds on Twitter. Actress Jennifer Lawrence is one of them. A rep for the Academy Award-winning actress says in a statement, the authorities have been contacted and will prosecute anyone who posts the stolen photos. In New York, I'm David Gura with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
It's a station wagon, an old station wagon, but really so much more.
This was a car that advertised to everybody that you had achieved a piece of the American dream.
I'm Kai Rizdahl, a 1957 Chevy and the American Experience. Next time on Marketplace, we'll have the rest of the day's business news and the numbers from Wall Street as well. It's from APM.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.